I'd say once a week. I have that feeling on some topic somewhere. Like, you know what I'd really like to know more about? Insert thing. And then I realize,
it doesn't last very long.
I'd have to go to the internet. Yeah. I'd have to get some books. I'd have to, you know, it just seems like a lot of work. I just think I'll just continue to be ignorant. I'll just be one of those guys that wishes I knew things about astronomy, for instance. I think it would be great, but,
so what's on that list? Involved. So there's astronomy. There's wanting to ride a bike, right? You want
a motorcycle.
A motorcycle.
For sure.
What else is on there? What's your level of interest from like a physical standpoint?
Oh, that's a great example. Like, mm-hmm. At least twice a day. Mm-hmm. At least twice a day.
But what do you say? Do you say, man, you know what would be really cool to do a triathlon?
Not that extreme. Okay. But what I will do is, you know what I'm going to try to do? I'm going to try to get out and do a hike 3 times a week. Nothing crazy, just, you know, up some hills, down some hills, get your sweat going, get your heart banging.
Do you have good hikes around your area?
Tons. Within a 10-minute walk of me, I can be in a fairly, I don't want to say rural, but it's not developed. You get hills, brush, hill, dirt trail, it's fun, right? Mm-hmm. And I get home, and I'm like, yeah, but first I'm going to make a sandwich, and then it's over. And then the sandwich happens, and the sandwich is good.
It's really good.
And like, you know, I've already had a sandwich that I probably didn't need.
Chips with it.
There you go. Now I'm going to have a chip.
You want something salty with it.
Yes. You
and
see,
then it's
you
like,
me.
Well, I work in sports, so I might as well sit down for a quick second and just take a look, see what's going on with SportsCenter, what's going on with ESPN.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, you're now starting to look at the time, and you're starting to say, well,
now
I have a family.
I
have to make sure that I provide for them, help them out with dinner and everything else. And the next thing you know, it's 7:30, and who's going to go out hiking that late at night?
Exactly. See, you understand me. I do that twice a day. Every see, here's what happens. I leave here, I start driving home.
Sure.
And I think I'm gonna go home, I'm gonna change my shoes and put on a pair of shorts, and I'm gonna
go right out there.
Right.
Yep.
But then I drive by Las Golondrinas and they sell burritos there, and they're the size of a shoebox.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanna have that.
But
instead.
It hasn't stopped you yet. However, you're gonna have a small child in your stomach by the time you get home because
now
it'd
be a health risk. I could drop and then I could be in trouble. What's the suggestion?
Okay, so Trav, what you need to do, because you do work close to, like, you know, Griffith and stuff, you bring your stuff here, mm-hmm. so you don't go home. So you go to Griffith, you do it really quick, and then you go home.
Have you and Susan been communicating?
No.
Because that is exactly what she says. That is exactly no.
They're on a text chain.
You need to take your stuff with you. Do not come home. Mm. You need to go straight to whatever it is you want to do.
Smart.
Do not come. Well, of course it's smart, but it also would mean I'd have to do it. This way I have all these built-in excuses.
I don't know. I kind of like your game plan better, Trev. I feel like there's, you know, you're the dad of the house, right? You're the man of the house, and I think you have a responsibility always itching in you. I got to make sure I get home and make sure everything is kind of properly going, and then I'll go out for my hike.
Yes, I agree. I look, if I'm nothing if not a giver.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here to make sure that everybody else has all of their needs satisfied before my own. That's basically
burrito,
what I'm best
what's
known
the burrito
for.
Spot called?
Las Golondrinas.
How good is it?
It's terrific.
What's
every
your,
time I walk through there, I'm like, I know I'm in exactly the right place.
What do you tell? Just give me some details. Like, what do you
so they have? I get a traditional carne asada burrito. Okay. Typically, every once in a while, a few rolled tacos thrown in there.
Rice
just for
in
the
burrito
home.
Or no?
I'm not a huge rice in my
with
burrito
you.
Guy.
I'm with you. If you're putting rice in
so
your burrito,
we got
I think it's a little bit
got
of
a little
filler
guacamole.
There.
We got carne asada. We've got some black beans.
Some
we've
pico
got
de gallo,
some
Greg's favorite.
I like salsa verde as opposed to pico de gallo in there. I don't like cheese in my burrito. Maybe sometimes. A little cabbage in there. Just letting you know.
That's kind of interesting. I could do without cheese, too.
Yeah. No, don't have that.
I don't need to have
not
that.
Not in a burrito. Not in a burrito.
No, a quesadilla? Okay,
sure.
I get
tamales,
it.
Tamales? Put a little cheese over the top of there?
What about an all-meat burrito?
I've done it, and it's okay. But
does it feel naked?
It feels
all
like
meat
I want a
burrito, as in?
Like just a little onion, maybe a little cilantro.
Onion, cilantro, maybe a little bit of salsa, but just enough to keep it all together.
What about potatoes?
Not bad. Not bad.
I like it in certain situations. They have to be crispy. They have to be right.
Well, that's the California burrito, right? The French fries.
Yeah, but some, you know, breakfast burrito with some shredded potatoes in there? Get out of here. Who says no? Not you, not me.
I got to have
anyone.
Guac in my burrito.
Yeah,
I have to have
that's,
that.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm not mad. We can do we,
sour
we can do, little
you know
squeeze
who loves
of
spice?
Lime. Greg Bergman.
Bergman loves spice.
Jalapenos sure. and habaneros
love
and
spice.
Everything else along the way. Okay, I have a question for you, Laura.
All right.
Emily had a very good idea right out of the jump. Mm-hmm. We should do an Ask Laura today. Are you up for it?
Yeah, I'm down.
Okay, so 12:15, let's do an Ask Laura. So you can start sending them to me. Just send them to my Twitter handle, at Travis Rogers. You can send them to Al's as well. But we'll put them together, and Laura's filling in for Taylor today. They did a little shift swap
today. I'm
going
to think of one too, Laura.
Yeah, we'll all come around with one. Okay. ESPN Radio.
Now that we got that settled.
I just wanted to make sure that she's okay with it. I don't like to put people on the spot. Now, had you said no, I would have very aggressively tried to talk you into it, but I'm glad that you said yes.
I'm a good team sport, you know?
You are. And I feel like you're kind of an open book. I feel like you're willing to share.
Yeah, that's true.
I had a feeling that was the truth for you. All right, ESPN Radio is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. A little late Ask Slee, better late than never. Gardena and Manuel. Manuel, you're on with Trav and Slee. What's up?
Fellas, hey, man, I hope you had a great weekend. So I was trying to get in on Friday with this because it's a little Friday the 13th theme. So worlds have collided. The alternate universe has become reality. And Slee finds himself smack dab pitted up against one of these three gentlemen. So I want to know who he's taking his chances with. Jason Voorhees, Freddy Krueger, or Michael Myers? Ask Slee!
Thank you, Manuel. So you got Jason with the hockey mask. You've got
that dude scares me.
Michael Myers, who apparently is indestructible, and then you got Freddy Krueger with the knives on his glove. It's a lot of not a lot of good options there.
Is Freddy smaller?
I don't think so.
No,
I don't think so.
That's not good.
Yeah,
he's definitely more skinnier.
Walking around with knives.
Yeah, he's a little leaner.
Yeah,
little leaner. Michael Myers seems like the biggest of the guys. Like he's probably your four.
You think he's bigger than Jason, though?
I don't know why. I have absolutely no evidence to back this up.
It feels like Jason's like 6'10 or something.
He's four. It's like a Jaren Jackson Jr. His footwork's good, but he's still got a lot that he's got to work on.
Yeah, not great speed.
Who's slowest?
I want to say Michael Myers is the slowest.
But he's definitely the scariest.
He might be. I don't know if any. They're all pretty terrifying.
Well, I don't want anything to do with Freddy Krueger.
Got the knives.
Yeah, he's got the knives.
Who has an axe? Is that Jason?
That's Jason.
The axe?
That's Jason.
Yeah.
We'll go Mike Myers. Michael Myers.
Michael Myers usually has a knife, a big knife.
But he moves kind of slowly.
He does.
I feel if Jamie Lee Curtis could outrun him, you've got a chance.
She's the one that had
But no one can outrun those guys in a movie. That's what makes it, you know, the movie in the movie.
Well, they always stop. If they kept going, they'd probably get away.
And
but they stopped to catch their breath.
What was the commercial? Was it Geico? Where they're like, hey, let's go into the garage where all the knives are hanging and hide here.
Exactly.
Just scream help quietly.
And don't have sex. That's the other way. They always get you when you're messing around. That's an automatic kill in a horror movie. you're going down. All right. You wanted to talk about the Dodgers and whether you've been trying to convince me to get worried for a while, and I don't want to do it.
It's not trying to. I'm not trying to make you worried. I'm just trying to throw some facts your way, and then you tell me if this is a concern or it's not. Are Dodgers in first place in the NL West?
Yes,
they are. Okay. I don't think any surprise or shock there. The only news about the Dodgers is if they're not living up to expectations. If they're living up to expectations, then there really isn't much of a conversation. 20% through the season, the Dodgers have technically tied with the Padres in the NL West, even though they're up half a game on the
winning
loss
percentage.
Column. And then the Giants are a game and a half back of the Dodgers.
Mm-hmm.
And you just look at the whole division. I think Dave Roberts was saying this yesterday. It's the best division in baseball, he would argue.
Yep.
No team is below 500. Colorado's got the worst record at 17-17. Does it concern you at all that it's this tight in the NL West 20% of the season through?
Not even
nothing.
One iota,
okay?
No.
Okay. And you know why I bring that up? I only bring that up because last year, listen, they didn't win the division. They won 106 games. All right, so it's fair to say that they had a great season, but they didn't win the division. But one thing that you kept mentioning as the season was progressing is, hey, I think these guys, you're better off saving them for the playoffs than having them run out of gas. They ended up running out of gas.
Mm-hmm.
So what you don't want this year, I'm assuming this is the thought process with the Dodgers, just don't be in a divisional race by the time you get to September 1st. Is that safe to say?
Yeah, it's just so far down the road to try to project that
point. You got a
little
bit of a cushion.
Yes, you would like them to have a cushion, yes.
Okay. So that's where they are standings-wise. Number one record in the NL West, but you got some teams right on your heels.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of their pitching right now? If I said, hey, you're going to walk with this what you've seen so far as the Dodgers pitching, you're going to take this into the postseason. I think it's safe to say you would say, no, you can't take this to the postseason.
No, their pitching has been underwhelming to this point, but that's not the pitching that they're going to roll into the postseason with. I mean, it's just not. If for whatever reason there was some rule change that said you had to freeze your roster on May 16th, then yeah, I would be worried, but there isn't. Clayton Kershaw may or may not be healthy by the time they get there, but
he started off really well.
He looked
really
great.
Well.
He arguably was their best pitcher through the first 20% of the season. I have nothing but faith in Urias. I have nothing but faith in Walker Buehler. Clayton Kershaw, if he's healthy, I think he's a really dangerous guy. He can go out there and do some work. Beyond that, they got some work to do. I don't know. Gonsolin, May's coming back. They're going to make a deal. They're going to find somebody else from another team. They're going to be a different
caliber,
team.
What caliber type of pitcher do you have to – Last year, they go out and get Scherzer. He was by far the one in the market that not only did you get him – but you stopped other people from getting them.
When they make moves, they very rarely make little small moves, especially when it's come to pick. You're talking about Darvish. You're talking about Scherzer. They go out and get a guy that can put you over the top. And we'll see what that looks like. You still have two more months before you're really having these conversations in earnest. I want to go back to something you said. Have the Dodgers played well this year? Just generally speaking, have they been what you thought they would be? No, right? They're like you said, their pitching's a little bit below where you thought, especially their starting pitching of late this weekend.
Yep.
They have a lot of guys that are really struggling swinging the bat. Max Muncy is probably at the top of that list. And they have the biggest run differential in baseball. They're in first place in their division. They have the third best winning percentage in the National League, and they haven't hit their stride. So when they do, and everybody eventually goes to where you're supposed to go, they're going to run away with this thing. I really believe that. I don't think they're going to have a division race. I don't think they're going to have to worry about, hey, we're going into the playoffs and we're going to have to open a series with Alex Vezia as our opener. I don't think that's what's going to happen.
All right. How about Muncy? Muncy concern you at all?
Okay. Next topic. Yes. That's the one. I was hoping that you would skip that, but that's the one thing that feels not good.
Buck 50, 20% through the season.
It's buck 50. He's not dry. He's got three home runs. He only has 7 extra base hits. Okay, they've played, how many games have they played, Al? Do you have it in front
33?
Of you?
33.
Okay, so they played 33 games. He has 7 extra base hits. That's not great. Okay, he's still getting on base at a decent percentage. Like, when you look at his on-base percentage, it's not terrible. But Max Muncy's way too good of a player to be batting a buck 50.
Mm-hmm.
That just doesn't make any sense at all. He's chasing a pitch here and there. Nothing crazy. Like I said, he's still walking, but that is a guy that you thought, okay, put him third or fourth in your order. Let him have a double or two every couple of days. He'll hit you 25 home runs. He's going to be just fine. I'm not saying it's going towards the Cody Bellinger thing because he's a much more disciplined hitter than Cody Bellinger is. But to watch a really good player like that not get hits is very strange. And I don't have an explanation for you, but it's long enough to say, okay, now's the time. Because Mookie got off to a really crummy start, right? Mm-hmm. Mookie's fine now. Mookie's locked in. Mookie's playing really well. Mookie's Mookie. Muncy hasn't quite clicked in yet, and it's something.
So the only thing I've really paid attention to, and look, this isn't going to happen all the time, but they gave up 9 runs against the Phillies, then 12, then 8, and then they got the win yesterday. It's just their pitching is my question mark for them. Eventually, if that turns around, then it's not much of a conversation. I actually don't pay that much attention to their offense. Their offense probably could have won them a couple more games this weekend simply because you got the bases loaded, nobody out, or you got guys
the pitching
in scoring
put them
position.
In a pickle, though.
That's what I'm saying. As long as your pitching does a decent job, you got enough hitters, you got enough people at bat that will take care of business. Here's kind of a – we'll never have this conversation. We actually usually don't have it. If you go look at the Angels and go look at their scores – it's 3-0, 3-1, 2-0. They are 10, 11 games over 500 because of their pitching. That's not saying that, you know, Trout and Ward and some of these other guys aren't completely killing the ball or doing what they're doing, but it's the random one. It's their pitching that's carrying them.
Did you see the home run Ohtani hit yesterday? I mean, Oakland is a weird ballpark.
What'd they say, like 97?
I've never seen a ball land up there before. I've seen him hit a lot of, but the dead center field
turns on it.
I still don't know how to properly describe what it is you're looking at when you.
Well,
watch
then
that
he'll
guy
get
10
strikeouts.
That's
as well.
What I mean. I just cannot wrap my head around Angels. Hold on. When Angels are good, are they? Are they good? It feels weird to say it out loud, but they might be good, Al. The Angels might
really
be good.
I really want them to be. I really want them to be good. I really do. Like, I'm really rooting for them to have some meaningful games in September. I really am.
I want Ohtani to be on that stage. I want Trout to be on that stage. I want to see what that looks like when you're facing the best teams.
24 and
everything
13.
About it. They're good. They're for now. I think they deserve a. The Dodgers are okay for now. The Angels are really good for now. We'll see how that. I have a feeling we're going to get a little bit of a teeter totter thing going on with those two. All right, make sure you send us your Ask Laura's. We're going to do that at 12:15. She's in for Taylor today. And Slee, there's a question that apparently is being asked to some Laker coaching candidates. It's pretty interesting. That's next. It's Trav and Slee, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
It's a pretty nice bat, Slee.
Badass bat.
33-inch classic Louisville slugger. Yep. It's got my name engraved into the barrel, and then has Go Gauchos also engraved into the barrel. Maybe on the other side. There's plenty of room on the other side. No, Yates hooked me up big time.
Yates came.
Gave you the bottle of Basil Hayden, right? Good bottle of bourbon. I think I beat you, though. I think this is better. I think this is one of the nicest things anybody's ever given me. Thank you, Clinton. Hey, Clinton, thank you so much. Wow. That's messy. What's my Matthew Stafford voice? There's something in between. I got to find the halfway point for those. Throw me a few pitches, Slee. Let's play Pepper in here.
My left-handed slider is just unhittable.
I'd like to see it. I think I can barrel it up.
No, it's just because it's unhittable because I could not get it across the plate.
He is swinging this bat around the studio. He was threatening Alan, it looks like, almost pointing the bat at Alan.
Yes.
I have full control of this bat. There is absolutely nothing. I'm basically like a combination of Tony Gwynn, Rod Carew, Ichiro, George Brett.
Williams.
I'm Ted Williams, sure.
I'll put them all
Maybe in. A little bit less pop than Ted Williams, but I feel like I'm ready to go. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Look, and this is me holding the bat the wrong way. If I put it the right-handed, the correct way, now I'm going to look like
Albert,
Hank Aaron
how about
and Willie
Albert
Mays.
Pitching yesterday?
Yeah, you liked that, didn't you?
I watched the whole inning.
You're not that interested in my bat. I now that you don't like my bat, makes me like it more.
I don't know what you want me to do. I'm not sure what you want me to do.
Talk about my bat.
It's a badass bat.
Tell me what you like most
about
it.
I'm not kidding. It is a...
Well, make me come over there.
Perfect, perfect gift that you can give somebody.
It's
like,
awesome.
And giving it to you. This is not, you know, if he gave me that bat, it's like, okay, that's cool. That'll
I need to figure out where to put that. Like, where do I put such a
it's
thing?
It's got
to
be something displayed. You know, if you ever do something that you have a TV hit you're going to do.
Yeah,
or
like a little Zoom background.
YouTube, whatever.
Right?
Yeah, it's got to be displayed there.
I need like to
Don't
zoom in
agree?
On my name, though. The people just think it's a random bat. It's my bat. It has my name. I'm basically like Ken Griffey Jr. We look
That's
a lot alike, we
say.
Swing the bat, we run
say.
Alike, mm-hmm. throw alike, not too many things. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle your auto, home, or motorcycle insurance. Visit progressive.com. So,
Funches and I went to the restroom together this time.
Did you guys race back?
Basically.
Like 100-yard dash?
Literally sprinted.
Weird.
Literally
Coat hands and everything.
Laura, I know you say it's weird, but it's just timing sometimes. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. I'm ready to go. He's ready to go.
Y'all think
Travis and I do this probably 4 or 5 times a week.
Me and Laura will go together
like
next time.
4 times a week?
Yeah.
Happens a lot at this radio station. And then we're in a hurry to get back.
Well, one of us needs to stay behind now because it feels like it's one of those base camp situations that if one person goes, the other person might not make it back in time, so we have to anchor. That's how it goes.
Yeah. Funches, nice guy.
Did you do any TV this weekend?
Saturday.
Yeah, or is that like a regular thing now? Do you just do it every Saturday?
Not regular, but I've done it, I think, 4 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
Four Saturdays in a row.
How much they pay you to do that?
Millions.
I would bet.
Millions.
I mean, that's a good gig. What'd you guys talk about this weekend?
Everything, literally. Every single thing that you
Lacrosse.
Can think of. Did the Kings preview to Game 7? I know.
2-0, Game 7.
Angels, Dodgers, Lakers coaching search, NBA playoffs, the whole thing. Literally everything.
Do you guys ever go Ask Slee on the Jim Hill show? I know that Geeter's bringing it to Spectrum.
Yeah, Geeter's bringing it. It hasn't got to Jim yet.
I'm going to have to reach out. I don't know. Jim's not on a ton of social media, I don't think. But I'm going to find him. I will find Jim, and we're going to bring Astley to the TV show. We'll figure it out. If you are a candidate for the Lakers head coaching vacancy,
okay,
and you go into a meeting, the reports are that one of the questions that you are being asked when you go in there is, how would you use Russell Westbrook? Is this a trick question? Is because it feels like one of those things, well, how would I use him? I wouldn't. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like that they're trying to do one of those. If a rooster lays an egg on the roof of a house, which way does it roll? Well, a rooster doesn't lay eggs. You're trying to get that answer, right? It isn't, will I play him off the ball more or more? No, we're not going to use him, right? This is a trick question.
I'm not buying what they're selling, okay? And this came up in a conversation last week, or maybe it was Bill Orme that had his article in The Athletic, and the conversation was pretty much like, look, you have to at least pretend that you want Russ back. You have to at least pretend that, hey, give LeBron, Anthony Davis, and Russ another opportunity. Give them more than 21 games and with the right coach, and Vogel didn't use him the right way. And if the right coach comes in, all of a sudden this dynamic could be different. I get what's out there. I'm just not buying it. And it's simple as that. Now, that doesn't mean that there isn't a scenario that could play out where Russ is on the Lakers this upcoming year. No, it definitely can happen. So I don't think the question is – I don't think it's a random question. I'm sure there's a potential head coach saying, well, I hope I don't have to deal with that. Or maybe not. Maybe there's a coach out there, yeah, I could work with these three personalities. But if you're trying to sell me that Russ is going to come back to the Lakers because that's what the Lakers want, I'm not buying that. Just not buying that.
I'm not buying it either. But I do wonder if there isn't one of those, like, you've interviewed for jobs. You've probably interviewed other people for jobs, right? That you ask some questions to see what their response is, not how they solve the problem, but just do they have a BS detector? Do they have that thing like, well, now that's a joke, right? Or something that makes you go, well, actually, I wouldn't do it like that. You want to see if they can speak truth to power, so to speak. And I wonder if that's not one of these. Like, look, I'm just telling you right now, I'd love to have this job, but if you're bringing him back for another year, then I really don't see a situation where those three pieces fit together. Maybe they're looking for a little truth to power moment. Because I'm with you. There wasn't a moment last year where you're looking at it saying, it just needs more time. There wasn't. It was, this just doesn't work. And there's a difference between those two things. Doesn't work, and more time is, I don't know if it doesn't work. I think everybody that watched that knows that it doesn't work. That's a weird question, unless it's designed
to sniff out BS. I was going
to
say, if I'm interviewing for the Laker job and that question comes up to me, I also don't think I could sit back, even if I felt like, hey, I can't make Russ, LeBron, and Anthony Davis work, and I don't think it's going to work. I wouldn't give that answer.
Why not?
I wouldn't give it, because that could 100% be a scenario that even if the Lakers, in all of their might, do everything they possibly can to get rid of Russ this offseason, he could eventually be back on the roster.
Sure.
And that
still doesn't mean it can work.
It doesn't mean it can work, but also I'm waving the white flag that I don't want to try to make it work.
No, the answer is I'm not going to play him very much. To your point, it's, hey, how do you make this work? I don't think I can. I don't think these pieces complement one another. And then, because you're right, it could be, yeah, we think so too, but you do realize there's a circumstance where he's back. What would you do? And the answer could be, well, I just wouldn't play him very much.
Or the answer could be, you know what, guys, I watched all those games that he did play. I think Russ, at this stage of his career, maybe coming off the bench is the best thing that can happen. Maybe by doing this, that could be more of the conversation. I just keep falling along the same thing. The way I look at it is, if you're trying to paint a picture of, hey, you know what, this thing still has some juice in it, I don't think anybody's buying it. I don't think fans are buying it. I personally don't even think the Lakers front office is buying it. And I think other organizations know, nah, they're kind of desperate, because if Russ does come back, that's probably not going to be the solution. That doesn't mean that they won't move him or they can't move him. It's just going to be difficult to do so.
Let's try a quick phone call here. Let's go to Simi Valley and Rick. Rick, you're on with Trav and Slee. What's up, Rick?
Hey, guys. Thank you very much for taking the call.
Sure.
Yeah, you know, there's reports that there's Monty Williams said something that there was something internal about DeAndre Ayton, why he didn't play a lot of minutes last night.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some talk about some difficulty maybe with his contract extension. And I'm just wondering what you guys thought about a trade for AD for DeAndre Ayton and even Russ for Chris Paul. I mean, the owner over there in Phoenix is cheap, so I don't know. Just like to get your thoughts on that.
I appreciate appreciate you calling in. Just let me play this one out here, okay? DeAndre Ayton, age-wise, obviously much younger than Anthony Davis. And you start kind of paying close attention to, well, is AD going to be able to play more than 50% of the season, 60% of the season, 70% of the season?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's always going to be a question mark at AD. And you know, the only way that gets answered is it's only if he starts playing more games down the road. So I think a team like the Phoenix Suns would probably pump the brakes on something like that because they're saying to themselves, I got this young guy who's got a lot of potential. Maybe he never has the potential that Anthony Davis has, but I don't know how many games AD is going to play. The Chris Paul part of it for Russ.
Why would Phoenix ever do that?
They wouldn't.
Exactly.
That's the simplicity. The only way something like that happens is if they decided we're going to blow it up. We don't want Chris Paul on this team anymore. We're going to try to get rid of contracts and stuff like that.
They're still a really good team. The hitting the detonator and blowing the whole thing up seems like I'm going to go in reverse order. Paul for Westbrook. Paul is so much better than Russell Westbrook at this point. It's not even close. No team that's trying to win now would ever do something like that. That one's off the board. Paul's just that much better of a player than Russ now. The other one is, if I'm the Lakers and if I'm Rob Pelinka, Jeannie Buss, my phones are open. Hit me with whatever you want. I'm gonna think about everything that you have out there. Nothing is off the table. Throw some scenarios at me and I'll think about it. But moving AD now, you're selling it at absolute low, right? He's never been less valuable than he is right now because of health, because of unknowns, because of all of these things. That if you would have said this conversation coming out of the bubble when they won, he's on the short list of best player in the league. That was only 2 years ago. It wasn't that long ago.
Do you think a lot of GMs feel that way?
What?
Like, do you think
that you'd be selling low?
There's an unknown to Anthony Davis right now because you just literally don't know how many games he's going to play. But I'm sure there's also a lot of teams out there that think, hey, if we had AD on this team and the way we would use him and the way this and that and blah, 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 I wouldn't be surprised if there's 10 teams in the NBA that say AD's available. Okay, let us give this some true thought. You know what I mean? Like, there's always teams that...
Well, I think there'd be people that are interested in him, but what are you getting back the other way? Are you getting 50 cents on the dollar? I mean, as far as like...
It makes it very easy if you were, right, to say, okay, well, there's nothing there. But
right.
I think there'd be some teams that would say, no, we'll give up some real value for Anthony Davis.
So if you're going to get him now, though, you know, we'll continue this conversation. This is a good conversation. Like, if you were going to entertain the idea of moving him, what would you have to get back coming the other way? Because to want him, you'd have to be going short term, right, to win now. That's why you would acquire a player like Davis.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a totally different can of worms. We'll get into that. But... we got Factor Cap coming up next. Do you have a regrettable tweet out there, Slee? Not the Quinn Snyder one. That's next.
Oh, Travis Slee. I'm going to retweet that right now.
710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey guys, so gonna muscle through this and gonna be better tomorrow.
We got
tomorrow.
Your back. We got your back. Don't worry.
So Stephen A. Smith had this whole tweet about kind of saying all the bad things with the Suns. And so he tagged the wrong Devin Booker. So he was going off about Devin Booker, said he wasn't showing up, tagged a different guy that plays in the European League. So you have sent a regrettable tweet. Travis Petrikap.
Maybe he's talking about that guy in the EuroLeague. You never know.
He's a huge
fan. He's going
fan
after
of the
everybody.
Greek league or something. Like to another person or just something I wish I could have back, generally speaking.
So if you wish you could just have it back.
Yeah, I think we probably all I don't have anything like off the top of my head specific, but I'm sure I don't send stuff to people very often. I will have exchanges where somebody will send me something we can go back and forth, but that's not really my lane.
But
I'm sure
have you ever
something
tweeted
somewhere.
Something and said, I shouldn't have tweeted that?
No, not really.
No.
I mean, I, now that I say that, maybe somebody could comb through the thousands of tweets I've sent and find something. I'm sure there's something out there that's not great.
I've definitely done for Laker games. I will, let's say, halftime or the game ends, and I try putting up Russ had X amount of points, AD, blah, blah, blah. And I've had times where I was so far off, I don't know what I was reading. I don't know what I was reading. Like I said, Bron had 27 and he had 33.
Yeah, but that's just an error. That's not necessarily regrettable, right? Like,
but
would
you
be,
regret sending.
Well, yeah,
then,
but that's an
error.
And
you're looking at your feed and everybody is just talking about what you said.
I'm trying to defend you. That doesn't, like, regrettable is if the Lakers hire Quinn Snyder, it'll be the worst decision they've ever made in the history of the franchise.
We'll find out.
And then they hire him and he goes on and wins two championships. Like, that could be regrettable.
Yeah, but
just,
you know, it's
funny. He had 28 and you wrote 22.
That stuff wouldn't bother me. Like, getting on Freezing Cold Takes would be the coolest thing ever, right? That stuff wouldn't bother me. It's more, hey, I shouldn't have said this to that person, or you're responding to somebody or something like that. I haven't had one of those.
You always have the ellipses at the end of your tweets, though. You're like, thank you, dot, dot, dot. It's always looming. I don't like the dot, 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 Alan. Laura, do you have any regrettable tweets?
I mean, when you're drunk, you have a lot.
See, that's a bad idea, Laura. You need to get like a breathalyzer on your phone after you've had a few, so that doesn't happen.
After Laker games this season, whoo, man, yeah.
Don't we all?
Yeah, there's a few.
All right. So this weekend, I went to an Amazon Fresh store, which is one of those things now where you have to put your phone down. If you have the app on your phone, you go in. There's no one that serves you. All you have to do is swipe it when you come out. So you don't trust this method of shopping. Do you need, Alan, Factor Cap?
Okay, so you look a little confused.
I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
So basically, you walk into, I went to one of these up in Seattle.
Okay.
And if I'm right, you don't have to, you just basically, let's say you have a little cart, you put everything you need
in
there.
Is it a grocery store?
It's a grocery store.
Okay.
Put everything you need in there.
Grocery store.
And when you're done, you just walk out.
Okay.
And it will have, correct? That's
yeah,
the,
you have to have your QR code up.
Yep.
And then it tracks at what you put in. And then when you come out, you don't have to swipe. I went because I needed to get some bags.
They're building one right now in Pasadena.
Okay.
Yeah. They're building one right now in Pasadena.
So but I don't trust it. I feel like I'm
okay.
just stealing.
Okay. So to answer it, I think it's okay. For the workers who you hate to see people lose, you know, their job, or, hey, do I need this person to do this anymore? But, bro, that's what it's going to be. Because imagine going into a store. And you don't have to do anything. All you're doing is putting all your groceries in and you walk right out. That's it. That's all it is. So you don't have to worry about scanning this, scanning that, sitting in line, all that stuff. All that stuff is eliminated. It's solid. It is really, really solid.
So, Emily, your objection is you're afraid like they're going to charge you for a couple of things that aren't in the cart or something like that?
Yeah, it's like I don't trust the technology. Like if I put it in the cart and I put it back.
But it's like anything, right? Like you're going to
check
your receipt.
Yeah, I was going to say, once you go through it a few times and make sure that they didn't jam you up.
How does Costco do that?
So I know the somebody explained this to me. They're looking for very specific things. They know what they're doing. It doesn't make sense to you. It doesn't make sense to me. But they're looking for very specific things on that receipt. They're looking in the basket or the cart, and they know what they're looking for and what's on the receipt. They're not going through it thing line by line.
So
that's not their deal.
If I, have a little rotisserie chicken that wasn't in the mix,
you
it's gonna
might
get
be
by.
Able to slide a rotisserie chicken through. I don't know if you're sliding new tires through.
You're not advocating for that, by the way?
I think it's one of those things.
That 2700 flat screen TV. Oh no, no, it should be on there.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I didn't ring it up. I think after a while. Look, I'm very reluctant to try things like that until I try them, and I'm like, oh, that's the greatest thing ever. And then I'm all in. It takes me about 4 seconds to get on board.
No lines, no nothing. You literally walk in, get everything you need, and then you get out of the store, and you were already charged.
And no more of those. Ooh, looks like somebody's making something good tonight. Can we just please ring this up so I can go home, please? I'm just trying to get
and
home.
And you also don't have to worry about the divider.
Yeah.
Exactly.
The rubber tubing? All. Yeah, DeMarco will be thrilled.
No.
All right, so I had nachos the other day. And it was pretty messy, and there was some stuff that I just didn't want to get out of my hands. So it's acceptable to eat nachos with a fork. Funches, Patrick Cap.
Very acceptable. Fact. Sometimes you just don't want to get your hands messy, you know, and keep on, you know, licking your tips of your fingers with the cheese.
Trev?
Are you sharing these, or are these all yours?
These are all mine.
Okay. If you want to fork it up, then absolutely go for it. But if you're going with other people, you need to kind of scrape with a fork off onto your little smaller plate. You can't keep going in with your fingers in collective nacho land, right? Because you eat and you go, That whole like they're just gonna have to scrape some stuff off. But if they're all yours, Emily, there's no wrong way to eat nachos. Hands, fork, right. Knife, spoon, whatever you want.
I don't think I've ever used a fork eating nachos.
Get all the beans and the chicken and the cheese and the onions off the bottom of the plate.
Isn't that that's the whole purpose of my chip.
What if you're out of chips?
Well, I got to get more chips.
That's a good idea, too.
But that's the whole purpose.
That's a good idea,
Where the chip is, like, soggy from the cheese or whatever.
I feel like the weapon that I'm using for the nachos, like a fork, I'm going to stab the chip, and I'm going to end up, they're going to get too small. I much more prefer, let me use my hand. Let me put a certain amount of toppings that I want. I didn't get a jalapeno on that. Let me throw a jalapeno on there. I feel like I don't feel like a fork is going to work for me.
You just kind of opened up a new whole world for me. Like, an order of nachos with a side of chips. This is exciting. Like, you could have a whole nother wave of nachos waiting for you when all the stuff's down at the bottom of the bowl or the plate.
I was still so...
Such a good idea.
She explained her story at, I think it was a Dodger Stadium, where they didn't put the double layer of cheese.
It was just cheese.
But the double layer of cheese that they just put out. Come on, guys.
It was bad. But these nachos were good. There was a lot. So
where were they from?
They were at this restaurant in WeHo called Hamburger Mary's.
Nice. Laura, you feel me on this one? You feel me on the hands, or are you using a fork?
Okay, first of all, clutch. I love
Hamburger
clutch.
Mary's is awesome.
Yeah, awesome. I feel like I do have done the fork thing, but it's because there's so much toppings. But I got so much heat from it that I'm like, I'm never doing that again.
Yeah.
Like, I got so much. They're like,
because it's like pizza with
your
knife and
fork. Fingers, you can get in there.
Just shovel it in.
You can't do that.
I've done the. Look, I had braces. So I used to cut my burgers with the knife and fork and eat them that way and pizza. Mm. So sometimes you get used to it. And it took me a long time to unlearn that.
That's one of those things, too. Not that I've ever explored these sorts of things because, that's a way to slow down, too, is to eat everything with a knife and
fork.
You're
supposed to put a fork down and like breathe.
Eating
and
with your hands.
Take a second and enjoy the food.
Right. Eat a bite of food, put the fork down, chew it, be aware of chewing it.
Watch an episode of Seinfeld and then go back and have another.
But I could get in multiple bites with my hands. Right. I could just keep shoving it in. That's a much more enjoyable experience. Yeah.
All right, so this weekend, the Calgary Flames, after one of their triple overtime game, they won their triple overtime game. They were leaving the rink, and a fan gave one of the players their beer, and the guy chugged it and then kept on going back to the locker room. So if you had to party with a certain type of a professional athlete, it would be a hockey player. Laura, fact or cap?
Ooh, fact. Those guys can drink. I
yes,
feel like
they
they're
can.
A good time. Yeah, yeah.
Trev?
It's a really good choice. They're probably my number two. The guys that have kind of made a thing about it, but it's at hockey games because it's part of hockey culture, are the NFL offensive linemen. Those guys, they're chugging the beers and two at a time. And you saw some of the guys at the Rams parade getting after it. I think I'd
Milwaukee,
go.
I think it was a Bucks game.
Right. Well, a bunch of the Rams guys at the Kings game the other day were there. They had a whole bunch of Rams players there. So I'm going to go NFL O linemen followed very closely by hockey players. Players know how to do it.
Funch, I think you and I are both in the same line of this. NBA players, they do pretty well at getting to the right place and spending
the
right
amount of
money.
Because I don't want to do that. I want to sit around and pound
beers.
And plus,
half of them don't drink, so you can drink all their alcohol.
I don't want to pound beers. That's the other thing. Is I think because they're drinking the hard liquor, I'd rather... Yeah. I think I'd rather...
Or they're drinking like Moet or something, some champagne.
Yeah, like how am I... I have an offensive lineman to my right taking down,
buckets of Bud.
Yeah. I don't even know what we're going to talk about. I got nothing there.
Football.
At least James Harden and I, we can sit and just have a regular conversation of how not to play defense.
I think
and
James
eat yourself
Harden,
out of the league.
I think James Harden would have very little interest in what you have to say. I mean, and that's not a use, but I'm just you, me. I don't know if James Harden
has, and I, we party all the time.
Yeah, no, I believe that James Harden parties all the time. I've seen him play lately, but I don't know if you guys were stuck next to each other at the airport bar. If there's a lot of common ground. Right
Do you
there.
Remember when was it the Mavs who won the championship and they went out to Vegas and didn't Mark Cuban spend? I don't know what he spent. He did stupid. It was. Yeah. Oh, no, actually, this was in Miami. But I think it was like, I could be wrong.
Had that giant bottle of champagne.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
I think he spent like $300,000-$400,000 or something like
He's fine. It's rounding
He'll
air.
Be okay.
$110,000 in 4 hours.
All right, so you know how tough the Rams schedule is, but I don't think you know how tough the Rams schedule is. I'm going to try to illuminate just how impossible what they're being asked to do might actually be. That's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. So here in Sedano, talk about the app right there. I was playing golf with some friends this weekend, and my buddy Brad says to me, we weren't talking about work or anything like that. He just says, hey, who's ever responsible for that new app? Good on that guy.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thank you, man.
But that's like so many unsolicited.
Thank you so much.
That new app is so good.
I had this idea, this vision. You remember, right? We were sitting there 6 months ago at Coffee Bean.
Not really.
You're going to have to refresh my memory. I don't recall this conversation as vividly as you do.
And I remember holding a very important meeting and asking everybody what they thought of the idea. And then, you know, just I know a couple tech guys. And then it took over from there.
The point being is that it works, that you should put it on your phone, go to your App Store, go to your Google Play Store, and the new ESPN LA app is sitting there right there for you, and it is fantastic. And Al, I don't know if there's anything you can say about anything better than, hey, guess what? That new thing works perfectly. And that's what it does.
No, let me tell you, the perfect – anytime you're trying to get somebody to do something – is when you don't even really feel like you have to say anything. It's like, just try it. You'll like it. If you don't like it, that's okay, but there's no way that you're not going to like it. And then it just kind of speaks for itself right there.
It absolutely does. Okay, so we knew that the Rams schedule was going to be tough, right? We knew that the Rams schedule was going to be the most difficult in the league based on the winning percentage from a year ago. The ESPN, you know, they come out with their power rankings and all those sorts of things. The first ones, or at least the most recent ones, just came out. And the Rams have the most arduous schedule you're going to want to think of. Here, you ready? The Rams are ranked number 2 in the power rankings.
Okay.
Number 2. Here's their opponents for this season.
Who they put at number 1?
Buffalo. Okay, so they've got Buffalo number 1.
Okay.
They play the number 3s, 4, 5, 7, 8, 9 twice, 12, 13, and 16. So
say the beginning again. Say the beginning again. I want to count how many of the top 10 ranked teams.
Okay. 1, 3, 4, 5, 7, 8, and number 9 twice.
So 8 of their eight of their 17 games are against the top 10 ranked teams in the NFL, being twice.
That's right.
Okay.
San Francisco is number 9 there twice. You've got Buffalo, Kansas City, Green Bay, Tampa Bay, I'm leaving one out. Who did I forget? Denver is in there as well. That's how many good teams they play. And we started talking about this morning, this idea of, okay, I think the Rams are going to win 10 or 11 games. That schedule is really, really tough. But there's a scenario where not a million things have to go wrong, where you could be in a fight where you're looking 9-8, 8-7, because there are, other than Atlanta, Carolina, the Giants, and the Commanders, okay, that's 4 games. Maybe you got a couple against Seattle. It's a division game. Those are always weird. So those 4 games, you kind of say, okay, put those – there's your 4 wins. Almost everything else – and give them 1 in Seattle. Give them 5 just in your back pocket. So now you've got 12 games left. You could – easily split those.
Mm-hmm.
You could easily maybe be on the wrong side of a 5-7.
Those, you end up with 11 wins.
Yeah, but that's if you ace the other part of it,
which you won't. That just doesn't
never
happen in the NFL.
Never.
We used last season as it just doesn't happen.
It's not a stretch to say that to get to 9 or 10 is going to be a fist fight. That's how difficult this schedule is.
What do you think is? What do you worry about most with the Rams this upcoming season? Let me kind of explain, because I think you can say, okay, hey, is the coach right? Yep. You got the right quarterback, no question about it. Does the front office know what they're doing? Of course they do. But do you worry about a Super Bowl hangover? Do you worry that every team that you play, whether it's those 8 games that you play versus top 10 opponents, at least from ESPN's power ranking, every time you, whether it's a home game, road game, everyone is circling the Los Angeles Rams on this country, the Super Bowl champs.
Sure.
This is what comes with it, right?
6 primetime games. You get everybody's best shot on a primetime game.
What do you worry about most? Is it, hey, I know they're talented. I know they have everything. Is it just it's because the schedule is so difficult, or are there other factors?
You know what it is? And this is going to sound like a weird answer, but I mean it sincerely. It's the law of averages is what I worry about. What did we talk about last year? Right? Every move that they tried popped.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Hey, go get Von Miller. Pop. Go get OBJ. Pop. Go get this guy or that
doesn't
guy.
Happen
go
that
pick up
way.
Sony Michel. Pop. Like every time that you needed somebody to step in and do something, they did. I mean, it really worked.
Yeah.
That, so, look, you've watched sports for a long time, like I have, like everybody listening to us probably has. If you bat 500 in those situations, that's really mm-hmm. good. They hit like 850. Mm-hmm. So the law of averages is going to say that eventually these, and that's the part that when you look at this, I start to say, okay, you got to, because they were replacing two-fifths of their offensive line, including losing the biggest leader on their team in Andrew Whitworth. Okay, I know that Joe Noteboom played a lot. I know that he's going to slide in there, but you've got
a guy. You can't replace a guy like that.
At left tackle. You've got a guard position that may go to a rookie, may go to one of your guys who's been a. So let's just say both of those guys aren't terrible, but they're 15% less than the guys that they're replacing. Okay, now you're 30% worse on your offensive line. Let's say Allen Robinson isn't quite as good as we expect him to be, but he's a little bit less, and you miss OBJ, and you miss Robert Woods, and it's not quite there. And Cooper Kupp doesn't have a triple crown year, but rather he's just pretty good.
A really
as
good
to,
wide receiver, like, but they're just, focusing more on him.
It's that law of averages, Al. Honestly, just that backing up of a little thing. And it doesn't have to be all of them. Just a couple of them come back to earth. They caught a bunch of good bounces in the playoffs last year, and good for them. That's how you have to win championships, but you don't catch a good bounce every single season.
That's why I asked the question, because that is off a normal schedule. If it wasn't, if you didn't have the toughest schedule in the NFL, Trav, everything you just said is accurate, right? That can happen. You win a Super Bowl, and things maybe that all went your way last year just naturally doesn't happen. The law of averages. But on top of that, you have the toughest schedule in the NFL. On top of that, every single week, it seems like you have, and a lot of those tough games are going to be on the road, too.
Mm-hmm.
I think that kind of combination, I'm curious what happens. You know, and would I be surprised if the Rams won 12 games this year? There'd be a little bit of surprise just because how tough the schedule is, but it wouldn't be shocking. This is Super Bowl champ. But would I be surprised that they won? I guess I'd be surprised if they won 9. If they went 9-8, I'd be surprised.
I think it's this, right? Two things can
if
be true at the same time. Are they good enough to win 12 or 13 games? Yes. Is the schedule hard enough for them to only win 9 or 10 games?
Yes.
Right? Because, look, Buffalo's number one. The Rams are number two. Tampa's number three. They play both of those teams. KC's four. They play them. Green Bay's five. They play them. By the way, they play the 3, 4, 5 teams all on the road. The Rams have
Tampa's on the road, KC's on the road, Green Bay's on the road.
Yep. Then you get the Chargers at 7, the Cowboys at 8. Both of those games are at home. Chargers technically a road game, but whatever. Cowboys at home, and then you got two with San Francisco. One there, one there. This, more than half of those are away from SoFi Stadium. The hangover is real.
Yep.
It is real. It's one of those things. I don't care how hungry you think you are. When you're chasing, you're not as hungry if you're the guy that already ate. You're just not.
That Charger home game, more Charger fans, Rams fans, Niners, or Raiders?
Jacksonville Jags. There's a couple of teams that come into town that just have no sizzle at all.
Yep.
The Jacksonville game last year was so weird. Like, you saw one or two Trevor Lawrence, maybe a couple of Maurice Jones-Drew around
there.
We're not flying out there to see this. And nobody from Jacksonville is here, or not many. San Francisco, by the way, that's a really good question.
Yeah.
So it's a Charger home game mm-hmm. against the Rams.
More Viking fans there.
Is it 50-50?
No, I think you definitely think
the
Rams.
The Rams, yeah. But the Rams fans don't roll like that.
That's true too.
They don't really.
I think more Rams. I don't think it will be crazy, but I think more Rams fans. I think.
Let's get there. That's late in the season. All of their really really dicey ones are in that last.
Is that
month
the final
of the
game?
Second to last. Yeah, but it's
I got an update
back,
for you about something in the kitchen.
Okay, we'll do it next. Yeah. It's Travis Slee, 710 ESPN, and.